You may be seated. I want to welcome all of you here this morning as we celebrate the life of Joyce Carlson. Joyce was born May 8, 1931, and went to be with our Lord and Savior January 1st, 2018. Joyce was an amazing woman. She loved the Lord deeply. She was a bright light in a dark world. And as I heard stories from the family and friends, it just amazed me how the Lord used her. And so as we come here this morning, this is a time of grief, of sorrow, because we're going to miss Joyce. Many of you have been impacted by her life. Many of you have stories to tell of how she touched you and how God used her. But her family wants you to also make this a day, not just remembering Joyce, but worshiping the God that she served. We don't want this to just to be a memorial service. We want this to be a worship service. And so as we come and remember Joyce, may you take those moments when you need to cry and grieve, but also take this moment to reflect on the life she lived and the Lord she served. Joyce, when she passed away, was surrounded by her family, and they loved her to that last minute. And in those last minutes, she went directly to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so while we may be sorrowful and sad that she is not with us, she's having a good time in heaven. And so we can celebrate that and thank God for that truth, that reality. And we're going to hear some wonderful testimonies today reflecting on her life that she lived in Jesus Christ and the God she served. So go ahead and just take a moment with me, and I'd like to just pray as we start this memorial service and also this worship service. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you for this time together to remember Joyce Carlson. We thank you for the life she lived and the life that she used to impact us. We just pray that you comfort those who are in grief as they miss her, and bring us the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, that she is with you in heaven right now. Bless this time, Lord. May it be honoring to you, to Joyce, her family, and friends. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please stand with me? We're going to do a call to worship. The call to worship is found there in your program. What I will do is I will say something to you and you will respond back. What you will say is there in bold under people. So let's say this together, this call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord together. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs to give thanks for the works of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Let's take a moment and sing a praise right now to our Lord.
Oh, praises him for he is thy God.
Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, we adore you. We thank you for this beautiful song of adoration we've just sung to you. We thank you for the beautiful life of this woman. We thank you that it was beautiful in large part, in most part, because of her relationship with you. We thank you for a time when we can remember, we can rejoice, we can extend good fellowship to one another. We thank you for all of that, Father. We thank you for a life well lived. We ask your blessing as we offer this time to you and praise you for this life that we're celebrating. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
If I could actually have you stand again. We're going to be like a Baptist church today. We have one more call to worship, because like I said before, not only is this a time to remember Joyce and celebrate her life, this is a time of worship. So once again, I will give a response and you will respond back to me. Repeat after me that which is in bold. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your only comfort in life and in death?
Washed over me in such a way that I am bare of all of my
Great is God's faithfulness. Oh, amen. You see, it's things like that that we need to hear during times such as this. That God is with you no matter where you are or what you're going through. His Holy Spirit will bring you comfort. You know, as we continue to worship God and remember Joyce, one of the things she loved was God's love letter. This is his love letter to us, telling us who he is and how much he cares for us and what he did to save us. And so in remembrance of Joyce and to honor God, we have a few scripture passages the family would like to share with you. So please listen to these, let them touch your heart, and let you hear the words of God spoken to you.
Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another god will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Psalm 139, 1 through 18, 23 and 24. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the light is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written, the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.
is cleft for me. Let me hide myself.
That was beautiful, guys. I believe this is one of Joyce's favorite songs, right? Who knew that she liked to rock out? That was just great, guys. What a wonderful way to worship God. Thank you so much. Let's continue just to reflect on God's love letter to us by looking at a few more passages of how much he loves us and what he's done to save us.
John 14, 1 through 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him.
First Corinthians 15, 1 through 7. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. 1 Corinthians 15:12-19. Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are ever found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied.
You may be seated. I told you we're going to have you coming up and down. Joyce, we get a kick out of that. Again, we have a few more passages we'd like to share with you. Listen to these passages. Let them touch your heart.
First Corinthians 15:35-58. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body, just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly one and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy, the second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as the heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. and the dead will be raised imperishable and be changed. For this perishable must be put on the imperishable, and the mortal must put on immortality. But when the perishable have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed. So that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Those are precious words. Thank you for those who read those scripture passages, those who have played the song so far. We come to a time during this memorial service that we want to reflect on the testimonies of God's grace, how he's used Joyce's life to make a difference in this dark and dying world. And so what I'd like to do now is just call some family and friends forward to the stage to share some testimonies about Joyce and reflect on the life that she lived. Will you please come up now? The first person I'd like to introduce is Marcia.
I didn't write anything down, but I just wanted to tell you how special Aunt Joyce was to me and to her family. We had so many special times together, and I was blessed as to have her as my family. She'll be sorely missed. Thank you.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, all his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, my Savior divine, all my being refine, till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I saw the beauty of Jesus in Aunt Joyce, in her kindness, her gracious spirit, her caring when she asked probing, yet not intrusive questions about what was going on in my life, and the countenance of her face. Aunt Joyce was a woman of God, not only in life and character, but also in her commitment to serve the Lord. Even in her senior years, She still cared deeply for others and those who didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I would wish for one more phone call, one more lunch, one more I love you, one more embrace, as I know you would. But we know also that she can't come back to us, but we can go to her, and that's the beautiful part of it all. As David said in 2 Samuel, when he spoke the words of comfort about his own child that God had taken home to heaven. God's call on all of our lives is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, just as Aunt Joyce did, so that we will not only see her, but we'll also see the Lord that she loved and devoted her life to. She was a gift and a treasure to all of us, and I'm so grateful that God in his kindness allowed us to be family. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home. Thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace within. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity. Thanks and praise be to God, our Father, for showing us his love through Aunt Joyce. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I'm representing the Jim Carlson clan from California. My dad, Jim, was son number 4 in the lineup of the 5 Carlson brothers. He was followed by Uncle David, the youngest. My sisters and their families wish they could be here to celebrate Aunt Joyce's life, and they're with you in prayer. As children, we didn't have the privilege of getting to see Aunt Joyce very often since we lived on opposite sides of the country, but it's a testimony to her loving character that we feel so loved by her. As adults, some of us had opportunities to visit Aunt Joyce and Uncle David, and she always received us with a warm and loving welcome. She had a heart for sharing her faith with others, both locally and around the world. She encouraged the missionaries in our family, writing many letters over the years to my sister Heidi and David Coombs in Peru, both by email and also sending beautiful paper cards with thoughtful messages. The Coombs remember Aunt Joyce and Uncle David always being happy to pick them up at the airport when they were passing through Atlanta and gathering family members to meet for a meal. She and Uncle David blessed them and their children with many financial gifts over the years and continued that loving generosity and hospitality to the next generation of missionaries. Great niece Rebecca Posmino remembers she wrote us frequently and supported us quite regularly. They drove out to the Jernigans for dinner while we were there in January of 2015, and she and Uncle David had to brave the icy roads just to spend time with us. Aunt Joyce certainly exemplified Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Her extended family cherishes her example of faithfully living for Christ her whole earthly life, and we rejoice that she's now experiencing the great gain of being in the presence of her Savior forever.
I've known Dave and Joyce for a long, long time, and I wrote a little poem here that was did from Joyce back to Dave, and I also think she would like it dedicated to every one of you that has ever lost someone, a loved one or a friend. Sweetheart, tomorrow when you wake up and you wish my face you could see, just look up toward heaven and smile, for that's where I will be. By God's grace, he healed me. By Christ's blood, he set me free. By the amazing grace of God, no illness will ever again touch me. Please don't cry for me again like you did the other day, for I know your heart is bursting with many things that you wanted to say. Yes, we loved each other deeply. Our love was pure and true. You'll often see me in your thoughts. Yes, I know you'll miss me too. Each day your hurting will get easier. I know you understand that death's angel came. That death's angel came to take me home, and he gently took my hand. He said, I've come to take you to your mansion in heaven above, and I must leave you now and the friends I dearly love. As death's angel walked with me, a tear quickly filled my eye, for I was going home to be with Jesus, and it was now my time to die. I thought about the places and things we wanted to see and do, and it was hard for me to imagine that I was now leaving you. Oh, I remember the wonderful years, the good times and the bad, how I loved your arms around me and the joyous times we had. What would I do if I could come back, oh, just for a little while? I'd hold you close and kiss you and see your precious smile. I know that can never happen. Embracing you will never again be, for memories and a void could fill your heart and take the place of me. I'll no longer think of worldly things. I no longer have a tomorrow. And if I should think of you at all, my heart may be filled with sorrow. When I walked up heaven's bright stairs, I knew I was finally home. Then God held me in his loving arms as he sat on his golden throne. He said, my child, this is eternity and everything I promised you. And now your trials on earth are over. Real life starts anew. There will be no tomorrow here. Today will always last. And now that it's always today, I'll remember no more of my past. You fought a good fight. You finished the race. You've also been faithful and true. Yes, there were times you did some things you knew you shouldn't do, but all has been forgiven, and now you're forever free. Put on your crown of life, my child, and share eternity with me. Then she says, soon we'll have a glorious reunion when you join me in the sky, and side by side we'll worship Jesus while eons of ages roll by. Until that day, be faithful. But don't think we're far apart, because any time you think of me, I'll be right there in your heart. Oh, my love, Joyce.
You may be seated. Oh, what a wonderful song to sing during a time such as this. You know, when we come here this morning, feelings come up, and at least two feelings come to mind whenever I'm at a funeral or a memorial service. The two feelings that I feel is grief and hope. You see, we come here this morning grieving because death is our enemy. Death came about because of the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came in as a curse. And all of us will experience that horrible fact. And because death is a reality, we grieve. Because it's not natural, it is our enemy. We say, this isn't right. I miss my loved ones. And so we grieve. And so as we come here this morning, we do grieve that Joyce is not with us. But as I was saying to the family, it is not goodbye. It is till I see you again. You see, even though we grieve, I'm reminded of 1 Thessalonians 4:11, where it says, when Paul writes to them, I do not want you to grieve like the rest of the world who have no hope. And you see, that's where the second feeling comes to mind when I'm in a funeral service or a memorial service. I feel grief, but I also feel hope because I know Joyce is with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, right now. And so as we come here remembering Joyce and celebrating her life and worshiping God, those two feelings might be going through you right now. Grief and hope. And the question that comes to mind for me is, what do we have hope in? What is the hope that we can have as believers of Jesus Christ? Well, the first hope that we have, as has already been said, is that though Joyce is not with us right now, we know that she is with the Lord in heaven presently. As it was read in one of the scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. And that is to give us hope during such a time as this. You see, while we will miss Joyce and will be sorrowful, and there'll be nights where you wake up and tears come to your eyes because you miss your dear friend, your wife, your mother, grandmother, your great-grandmother, your aunt, there's that hope knowing that she's all right. She's doing just fine. She's with the Lord, worshiping Him face to face. And that gives us hope amidst the grief. But that place where Joyce is right now is not the final resting place of Joyce. You see, she is presently with the Lord in what we call heaven, but heaven is not like what Hollywood portrays heaven. It is not some fat babies with angel wings sitting on clouds. Heaven is where Joyce's spirit is now, but that is not where she will remain forever. You see, Scripture, as we were going through those passages that were being read by the family, they tell of an event that is going to happen that also can give us a second hope. You see, not only is Joyce presently with the Lord, but we know that Joyce is going to return with the Lord the second time. Jesus Christ is going to return again, and when He does, He's going to bring those with Him who have died in Him. And it says this in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Listen to these words. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from the heavens with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You see, we can have hope amidst the grief right now because presently Joyce is with the Lord in heaven. But we have another hope too, that when Christ returns, he will bring Joyce with him. And when he brings her with him, she's going to get a resurrected body. And when I reflect on that, I often ask, what kind of body is Joyce going to have? And this is amazing. You think about it. Our bodies, they grow old. We grow weak, we get sick, and we have to experience death. But this resurrected body is not like this body. This resurrected body is different. This is something we can have hope in. And Paul records in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 44, in what has been read before, what this resurrected body is like. Listen again to these words. "But some of you may ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come back with? How foolish. You sow something and it becomes something else. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives it its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals another, birds have another, fish have another. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And the stars differ from stars in splendor." Listen to this. "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." You see, Paul gives us hope here that during a time such as this, not only is Joyce presently with the Lord, she'll return with him when he comes a second time, but she'll get that resurrected body, and it's different than the bodies we have now. And he describes how the heavenly bodies and fish and birds have different sorts of skin and flesh. And he gets the idea that you need to understand that the resurrected body is going to be different than the bodies that we have now. And he says, then, well, what kind of body will it be? I mean, are we going to look like aliens or another kind of creature? Well, no. If we go back and look at Adam and Eve, we see that they looked fully human when they had perfect bodies before the fall. If we look at Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he had a resurrected body that looked fully human. So then what's the difference with this resurrected body that Joyce is going to have that can give us hope? He says it right there in 1 Corinthians 15. He says the body that is sown perishable, that's this body, is going to be raised imperishable, meaning that this resurrected body is not going to die. Amen? He says it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. This body right now that we have is cursed. We have a sinful nature. But the body that we will have in the future, the body that Joyce will have that gives us hope, is a glorious body that can honor God perfectly without sin. He says this present body we have is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. How many of you would love to be able to jump and climb and ride bicycles and other things that maybe you can't do now? Joyce is going to be able to do that with her resurrected body. It will be a body that is powerful. A body that does not get old, it does not lose its ability to lift heavy objects or run up a mountain. It is a perfect body. And that is the resurrected body that Joyce will have when she returns with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we know presently we have the hope that Joyce, her spirit, is with the Lord in the present heaven. But we know that that is not her final resting place. She will come with Jesus Christ when he comes a second time, and she'll be given this resurrected body. But But there's something more that also gives us hope. Third thing we can have hope in as we think and reflect on Joyce this morning is that she is going to spend eternity on the new heaven and the new earth. You see, again, a lot of times Hollywood and movies portray heaven as this mystical place where there's clouds and we're playing harps, but that's not it at all. The eternal heaven is described in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. John records, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." You see, where Joyce and where we who have trusted in Jesus Christ will be for all eternity is not spirits floating in the sky. We're not going to be up in the clouds playing harps. The eternal resting place for believers in Jesus Christ is on a new heaven and a new earth. And the heavens that is described there is not the present heaven where God resides. In the Hebrew, heaven can mean three things. It can mean the heaven where God resides. It can mean the stars in the sky. It can mean the sky. And what John is recording here is he's talking about the sky and the universe and the earth. God is going to create a new earth, a new heavens that is perfect, without sin, without blemish. And you and I, who are believers in Jesus Christ and Joyce, will be there in our resurrected bodies on a real physical earth, where God resides with us forever. That should give you hope. You see, we're going to miss Joyce. We're not going to see her for a while, but we get to spend eternity with her on this new heaven and new earth forever and ever. And Isaiah 11, 6 through 9 gives it's a glimpse of the millennial kingdom, but it also gives us an idea of exactly what this eternal kingdom is going to be like, where he records, "The wolf will lie with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of a cobra, and the young child put his hands in a viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas." Do you have that hope for this future? You see, Joyce has that hope awaiting her. She's presently with the Lord, and so we can have hope there. She's going to return with Christ and have a resurrected body, and we can have hope there. And she will be with the Lord forever in his eternal kingdom, and we can have hope there amidst the grief. And so as we come celebrating Joyce's life, remembering her, worshiping God, my question to you is, do you have that hope? How do you get that hope? Well, Joyce and her family would want me to share with you how exactly you can have the hope that they have, the hope that Joyce has. You see, Scripture tells us all that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have broken God's law. If you look at just the Ten Commandments, I dare you to go through them and see how many of you broke them. I guarantee it's going to be a lot. And if you say you haven't broken any of them, you're lying and you just broke that one. All of us have lied, and not just once, right, if we're honest with ourselves. Perhaps when you were younger, you stole something. You lied to your mother and father. You have not kept God first. You probably blasphemed his name. There's multiple things that we look at and say, "I've broken God, your laws, over and over and over. I'm a repeat offender. I'm a criminal before your throne." There is no such thing as a good person. All of us have broken God's law. Myself included, Joyce as well. Because we have broken God's law, because God is a holy and just God, he must punish sin. He cannot look by it. Yes, God is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. And just like we know we have to punish criminals here who break the law, so God has to punish those who break his law.
stop the story right there. If that is where it ended, we would all be crying and weeping right now for Joyce and her spouse. But that's not where the story ends. You see, God loves us. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. And so almost 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, who was God in the flesh, born of a virgin, to come to this earth, to live a perfect life, and to die on the cross for all our sins. You see, we broke the law, but Jesus paid our fine. And God has promised us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. And you can have the same hope that we have for Joyce and the family of that glorious future where you'll be present with the Lord, return with him with resurrected bodies, and spend eternity in that eternal kingdom. That's the hope we have. All it takes to be saved, all it takes to have that hope, is to trust that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And that he rose from the dead, showing victory over death. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ today, I implore you to do it. Let Joyce's death be used to bring you to Christ. She would love nothing more than that. Her family would love nothing more than that, and her death, not just to be a time of grief, but a time of celebration, because you realized you need a Savior to save you from the punishment that you deserve. Will you trust Jesus today? Will you believe in him?
For he is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. He made it very clear in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven. He is the door you must walk through. You see, I see Christianity spelt this way. Christianity is spelt D-O-N-E. It's done. Jesus Christ paid your fine for you. You see, all the other world religions spell salvation this way. D-O. Do. You have to do something to be saved. Not with Jesus. He's done it for you. You have to just put your faith in him. Going to church won't save you. Reading your Bible won't save you. Praying, being a nice person, giving a lot of money won't save you. All those are wonderful things. You cannot work your way into heaven. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Joyce realized that and trusted in him. And so that is why we can have hope and rejoice and worship God this morning. So my challenge to you is this. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, will you reflect on the passages that were read today, on the music that was sung, on the memories of Joyce's life that were given by her family and friends? Will you let her life impact you and let God speak to you today? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to have the hope that Joyce and her family and friends have. Joyce and her family would want you to have that hope during this time of grief. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we have hope amidst the grief, that though we know Joyce is with you, we will miss her deeply, and tears will be shed, and that is okay, because you'll be right there with us with your Holy Spirit crying with us. But Lord, we thank you that you are also a God who comforts and gives us hope for a glorious future. May you let Joyce's life touch everyone here. May you let her life continue to have an impact for your kingdom, your glory, your honor, and your praise. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you please stand as we sing one last song in remembrance of Joyce?
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And lay. Now your burden is lifted. Carry far away. Precious blood has washed away the stain. Sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and live. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, and live. Sometimes the way is lonely, steeps are filled with pain. Some skies are pours the rain. Cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus.
Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for the comfort you bring during this time of sorrow and also joy and hope. Pray you be with the family in the days to come as that grief continues to come up. Wrap your loving arms around them. Help these family and friends remember the hope we have in Jesus Christ and cry in your arms as they do so. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, may God keep you and be with you as you go forth this afternoon. The family would like you to join them for a reception following in the fellowship hall, which is to the left after you exit. They'd also like you to put on a name tag, if you would, as you go into the room so that they could greet you by name and thank you for coming. Likewise, if you'd like to make any donations in lieu of flowers, the family has asked that you give them to the Gideons and also other special ministries that are out there on the table in the foyer. What we'd like to do right now, the family has requested that we'll sing one last song, but the family will leave in the middle of it. And at the end of the song, would you please also exit and then join us for the reception following? This song is by the Brooklyn Tabernacle, which was a favorite of Joyce. And so she would love this song. It's called Worthy is the Lamb. So let's sing this in the middle of it. The family and I will exit, and you will join us thereafter. Thank you.
Lord.